Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Hotline. Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I got to tell you, the Bears got their man. They got the guy that everybody said they should pursue, that the quarterback has spoken highly of. They got a guy that has run the top offense in the NFL, and I don't know that there's a lot to be dissatisfied with. It's a pretty interesting and excellent hire at this point.
I think the Bears have got to be thrilled with their ability to get Ben Johnson to Lake Forest this morning and get the contract done and get started on a new era. You have no idea how it's going to turn out, but a process that had more names on it than any team in this cycle wound up working out just right for the Bears. Like, you know, in terms of their plan, they got the guy that they coveted, and now he's got to go to work putting together staff and kind of studying and learning the roster that he's going to be working with. But certainly I think there's plenty of room for enthusiasm as they went big and they got it.
Brad, I think there was a level of surprise that was shared by everybody yesterday when the news broke, that it came on a Monday, that it came at all. And I think you did a nice job in the Tribune this morning at ChicagoTribune.com of trying to explain exactly how this all came together. It's naive to think that there wouldn't be some sort of connection somewhere along the line. You point out that Jeff King, the director of player personnel, his agent is Rick Smith. Also, Rick Smith represents Ben Johnson, and maybe that relationship or connectivity played a role in Ben Johnson moving fast when the job was open and his season was over. Could you expand on that and maybe Jeff King's role, Rick Smith's role, and how it made it all come together for Ben Johnson and the Bears?
Well, I think that was a part of it for the Bears that helped them. Ryan Poles was the one that was leading the way. That's how the Bears explained that the process was going to work, and talking to people that were involved in different points in the last 2+ weeks. That's exactly what happened in this coaching search. I don't believe Rick Smith still represents Jeff King, but when he was a tight end in the league, 8 seasons, Rick Smith served as his agent, and as everyone knows, Rick represents Ben. So I think with that relationship probably enabled the Bears to get some level of trust in the agent, Rick, and in the client, Ben Johnson, as the process played out, right? Like, yep. And so that certainly probably helped the Bears, but Ben Johnson had to believe what he was being told by Ryan Poles. He had to believe what he was being told by Kevin Warren, by George McCaskey, and the Lions season ended earlier than anybody expected. That that put him in play after the game, really, really put him in play Monday morning, right? Like, you know, you got to do your exit interviews and sort of be able to process what happened in the game. But Monday morning, that thing was live, and the Bears didn't flinch in the moment.
So, Brad, we had heard increasing chatter around the NFL that he had his own personnel guy, that he wanted to have control of that through his partner in crime, and that, you know, this was going to be a real hindrance for the Bears. And we heard that that the Raiders wanted him, and that Tom Brady was violating the sanctity of the news, the press box, by commenting on the broadcast booth, by commenting on his games and secretly stealing him from the Bears. What was the reality of what was going on? Had they known they were going to hire him from the minute he interviewed? Was he the guy they had identified beforehand? And, you know, Ryan Poles got his guy despite being the general manager and the guy in the way of presumably Ben Johnson's own personnel man.
Yeah, I think some of the stuff that people thought would be these requirements or demands were probably not something that were legitimately requirements or demands for Ben Johnson. You know, we hear so much stuff that, and I think there's just way too many. There was just too much time for too many rumors to get going, and he's a guy that had been in the hiring cycle the past 2 years, and so I think people looked at it and said, well, this guy's very picky, you know, and they started potentially associating things to him that weren't necessarily the case. But Ryan Poles is the GM, wasn't a hindrance to the Bears getting the hottest candidate in this cycle. Like, you know, and what'd you hear about Ben Johnson? Well, he was going to need alignment, you know, and that's like from the top down. It's going to have to be this clear vision. Well, the Bears certainly were able to sell that to close this deal, to get him hired as the next coach. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. Like, the jump from coordinator to head coach is one that a lot of people attempt. Some of them have remarkable success. Some of them are so-so, and some of them kind of flop. And we don't know where Ben Johnson will go. But his offensive acumen, his work as a coordinator, made him a clear candidate to get a shot for the job. And he's the guy the Bears wanted.
Brad, it's an expensive leap of faith, and I think that when you look at all the things that might have surprised us on Monday, Ben Johnson making the decision so quickly, Ben Johnson choosing the Bears and being this most sought-after head coaching candidate, the biggest surprise to me was that the Bears paid top dollar for a guy that was very expensive. He's not only was the most sought-after guy in the market, he was the most expensive guy on the market, and reports are they're paying between $12 and $13 million per season as his salary. What's your level of surprise that the Bears stepped up big time to pay a coach what his market value was?
I'm not real surprised. Like, you look at what Kevin Warren's done inside the building since he was hired, and he's got the he's got the magic words needed to get George McCaskey to spend money there. Like, you know, he's hired a small army of lieutenants around him, people likely making an awful lot of money in their roles. They've created all sorts of jobs with titles that you look at and you're really not sure what they mean. And so they've built out the staff. Like, so, and I've said it for a while, on the football side, you know, the Bears' continued lack of success, the, you know, really systemic losing hasn't been a result of them going on the cheap. And there are some people that find that difficult to believe and just want to blame that. But no, they've spent, they just have bought the wrong things. They haven't spent wisely. They haven't made good decisions. So that they go big in a contract for Ben Johnson when they're still going to owe Matt Eberflus money for the next two seasons, I'm not surprised here this morning. Like, that there's a price of doing business in the National Football League, and I think they understand what that price is.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Brad, there was a report out there that now that Ben Johnson is here in Chicago, that Aaron Glenn will be traveling to New York, New Jersey, wherever the Jets are, and have an in-person interview, and the Jets don't plan on letting him leave the building. In other words, there could be drastic changes going on for the Lions. There could be, who knows what's going on with Minnesota. Those were the two top teams in the division. The Packers bowed out, and the Bears beat them at the end of the year. Just wondering, how quickly can this Ben Johnson turnaround work for the Bears in the division? Do you anticipate them having a winning season a year from now? Do they have to redo the offensive line first in order to get to the kind of point production that we anticipate this could mean with Johnson coming to Chicago?
Yeah, I think we've got to tap the brakes a little bit on, you know, what this could mean in terms of wins and losses and success. Like, Dan Campbell's record there in Detroit a year and a half in was awful, right? Like, weren't the Lions like 4-20 or something? It was something right in that range near the middle of Dan Campbell's second season. Remember, they couldn't win a game on the road to save their lives. And so I think the roster here is better than it was for the Lions at that point. But I don't want to say that, you know, sky's the limit for them in 2025, when I think one of the issues that plagued the Chicago Bears this past season were expectations that were, you know, completely out of whack. Remember, they played pretty darn good defense for the second half of the 2023 season, and you got to the end of the year and into the offseason and said, you know, that could be a top 10 defense in 2024. Well, which I thought was, you know, attainable. Like if they improved, they could be there. Well, that quickly shifted to everyone wanted to talk about it being a top 5 defense. And it's just, I think people have got to just be a little more mindful of expectations, because, you know, the Bears have won an awful lot of off-season trophies in the last 2 decades. And those, you know, those aren't real shiny. They're not real bright. And they don't display those in the lobby at Hallis Hall.
It's a good reminder, Brad. And I think that it's sobering reality that is true and backed up by history. That said, when you look at what this could potentially mean for Caleb Williams, I think we have to back up and say, you know what, Kevin Warren was right. This was the most coveted job, but I'm not sure it was for the reasons that he expressed or articulated. I think it was the most coveted job because of the presence of Caleb Williams. To you, what does this do for his immediate future? And does it change the way that you think of him as a quarterback with his potential in terms of expectations?
I don't think it changes your expectations for Caleb Williams, because those have been high since he got here. It should be. You know, you draft a quarterback number one overall, there should be an expectation that he's gonna be a bona fide big time player. So I don't think that shifts that at all. I think you would hope that he would have an immediate impact for Caleb in terms of you know, helping him develop and grow his game. It's going to be really interesting, because you know, Caleb and Jared Goff don't have the same strengths as quarterbacks, right? And Goff was a guy who came from the Rams, and they certainly didn't think he was the guy for them moving forward in L.A. And you looked at him in Detroit initially, and you're like, well, you know, they got a guy to kind of tide them over until they can draft their next one. Like, that, you know, and they had to do that to get the bounty of draft picks from the Rams in the Stafford deal. Well, they got him playing at a super high level. Like right now, the past couple of years, you'd rather have Goff as your quarterback than Caleb Williams or whoever else the Bears were rolling out there. So there's ground to close there. But I would expect he could have a big impact with Caleb in the first season, especially if they can, you know, do some work for the players around him. Like, they got to build up the offensive line a little bit, right?
Right. I'm curious, you know, he ran, I think it's 40% play action, and the Bears were the worst in the league with play action. Obviously they got to improve that offensive line, but if they can do that, how will that change the decision-making of the quarterback? And I'm very curious to know what this guy can do for the accuracy of the quarterback. You know, Caleb was up and down with his accuracy. It wasn't as good as I anticipated it to be before the year started.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotta see what's going to fit for them, I think, because I don't know. I haven't covered him. I haven't watched him up close in person in practice and talked to players, you know, throughout an entire year. But I would imagine Ben Johnson's like most of the other coaches at this situation. They're going to evaluate what they have and come up with the best plan for those players. Like, you're not bringing in a rigid system that all these people have to fit to. So I think he's got to see what he's got. And yeah, you would expect them to be a lot more proficient at play action, probably to see more of it. You know, I think we're going to be in line to see more pre-snap movement. You know, there's a lot of elements to that Lions offense that made it special and made it hum. And I don't think we're going to see the exact Lions playbook. They don't have the same players, but you're going to see elements of it. And they should be better. I mean, this should really benefit Caleb Williams. They better hope that it does, because as I said yesterday, guys, I mean, he's got to get better. There's ground to close if they want to feel like they've got a franchise quarterback in place.
Brad, the report that Ben Johnson will bring Dennis Allen in as defensive coordinator was encouraging because of the experience that he brings. You wonder about Darren Rizzi, if he's not going to be a head coach somewhere, if he picks the Bears over some other opportunities. But is the connection with Dennis Allen through Dan Campbell? Allen and Campbell were teammates at Texas A&M. They have a long storied history together. Is that the connection, because there's no other crossover? And how do you feel about Dennis Allen coming in as the DC?
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen's a pretty well-regarded defensive coordinator and has had some success. And obviously, you're getting a guy who's super experienced, who's been in a lot of different situations as a head coach, both in Oakland and then New Orleans. And I think you could see, I don't know how much of the Lions staff he's going to be allowed to bring with him. That will be interesting. You know, maybe no one from Detroit comes with him. Maybe it's one person. We'll have to kind of wait and see. But the Dennis Allen addition would make sense if that's indeed what happens. And then I think, you know, you're going to be looking for some of those people that Campbell's had a background with previously in the Saints that might be members of that coaching staff. Darren Rizzi, most people tend to think he's probably headed to the Denver Broncos to reunite with Sean Payton as special teams coordinator. If he doesn't get the head coach job in New Orleans, he's expected to get an in-person interview for that job. There's some other people involved, Mike McCarthy. I think Mike Kafka is in that one too. But if Rizzi's not hired as the head coach, and that's a bit of a long shot, you're probably looking at three teams specifically. The Broncos, again, with the Sean Payton tie. San Francisco 49ers are working to hire a special teams coordinator. And then Ben Johnson and Rizzi worked together previously in Miami. And the Bears have interest. My money would be on Denver at this point.
Thanks a ton, Brad. We appreciate it. If he can only bring
one more thing, guys. And if that happens, I think there's a better than decent possibility the Bears consider running it back with Richard Hightower.
Okay, oh, wow. Interesting. Okay.
If he can only bring one guy from Detroit, could it be Penny Sewell? Wouldn't that be? That's what they need. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Brad. Good stuff.